You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life, on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, in the throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On the show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. So on today's show, what I'd like to discuss is what I would describe as Ayurvedic cooking. Now, don't be alarmed. This is not a mysterious topic by any means. It really is looking at your cooking and meal preparation from an Ayurvedic point of view, something that I've been doing over the last number of years. Now, so in other words, to talk about cooking and Ayurveda. Now, to recap, Ayurveda is a philosophy or a system of medicine that emphasizes mindfulness and an individual approach to managing your health. And a key component of this is our digestion. And naturally, a key component of our digestion is what we eat and how we prepare our food and how we eat. Now, Ayurvedic cooking is both accessible and practical once you understand the key teachings of Ayurveda. And this is something that I am still learning, which has been really an interesting journey, an interesting process. But as with everything in Ayurveda, it's not just about the cooking, but it's the eating and ultimately the digestion of the food from our gut through all the different tissue layers. And we know that a good balanced digestion is the key to good health, not just in your gut, but throughout all the tissue layers. From the plasma, the blood, the muscle, the fat layers, the bone marrow, the bone itself, and then ultimately the reproductive system and our overall immunity. So our digestion, our all the health of all the layers of our body and all the parts of our body are intimately tied up with our digestion. So what I'll discuss in the show today, I'll recap what Ayurveda is, with an outline of the basic principles of Ayurveda. I'll discuss some key aspects of Ayurvedic cooking, and I will discuss cooking methods as related to Ayurveda, not specifically Ayurvedic cooking methods, because cooking methods are similar throughout the world and in lots of different cultures and cuisines. I'll discuss some of the benefits of having an Ayurvedic approach to your cooking and your meal preparation. I'll discuss briefly whether Ayurvedic cooking is regarded as vegetarian, which it's not exclusively. And I'll discuss some spices that are used in Ayurvedic cooking, which are important to know. Now, food and meal choices can be bewildering. And what we try to do in Ayurveda is to simplify things, simplify our lives, and get in tune with nature, both our own individual nature and the world of nature around us. And I've repeated this before, but it's certainly worth repeating again. And this is the one of the key principles of Ayurveda, to reflect nature and to become in tune with nature in how we live our lives. And hopefully after today's show, you will have a better understanding of how to cook using some basic Ayurvedic teachings and techniques. Now, just a quick disclaimer. I think it's worth adding this in case my wife listens to the show. I make no claims to be an expert cook. I leave that to my wife. But I have learned a lot in the past few years about food and cooking in an Ayurvedic way, from just my learning and a study and applying it to what I eat and how I eat. And I'm just being more aware and thinking about it more of the time, without becoming obsessed, as my family sometimes think I am. But I think it's really important to develop that habit. Now, what is Ayurveda? Ayurveda, as I said, is an ancient holistic system of medicine, or a discipline or practice with roots in the Indian subcontinent dating back 3,000 to 5,000 years ago. It's one of the oldest systems of medicine that's still in widespread use today, and in fact is growing worldwide in popularity. The Sanskrit word Ayurveda comes from the two words, a compound word of Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means knowledge or science. So in essence, this show incorporates that meaning in its the science of life. So Ayurveda is the knowledge or the science of life. Now, they are a set of philosophies and guidelines that are aimed at improving a person's well-being and health. And it covers everything from your diet, your lifestyle practices, your movement and exercise, your meditation, to even what you use on your skin, in terms of products that you find for massage and so on. And it is often referred to as the sister science of yoga, in that it developed in and around the same time, and both of them followed a similar path, such that many yoga practitioners would incorporate Ayurvedic principles into their daily routines in terms of food and lifestyle, and vice versa. Many Ayurvedic practitioners would see and understand the benefit of yoga and have a regular yoga practice as well. Now, the basic principles of Ayurveda revolve around the concept of the tri-dosha. And I've explained this before, but it's certainly important to explain again, because everything stems from an understanding of what the doshas mean. Now, according to Ayurveda, everybody's physical body, and even a psychological body as well, and your mind, is composed of three primary energies known as doshas. And these doshas are these, call them biophysical energies. They are derived from the five elements of nature. And in Sanskrit, these are called the Pancha Mahabhutas. So Pancha is the Sanskrit word for five, and Mahabhutas implies the elements.
And these five elements are air, space, fire, water, and earth. And these five elements, they combine, their role within the human body is to govern the processes of how the human body and mind work. And these five elements are combined in us into three doshas. And these doshas are vata, which is a combination of air and space elements, pitta, a combination of fire and water elements, and kapha, a combination of water and earth elements. Now, every dosha comes with a set of characteristics or qualities that influence our individual appearance, our personality, our psychological traits, and even our digestive system, or how we digest our food, and even how we digest our emotions and feelings. And each person has a unique combination of these doshas, which is determined at the time of conception. And this is known as one's constitution, or in Sanskrit, it's called prakriti. And this is like roughly think of it as like a genetic blueprint, but it's far more than that, again, beyond just simply your genetic identity. And the concept in Ayurveda is that the foods we take in are also made up of these five elements, and they also have qualities of their own. And the aim of Ayurvedic cooking is to keep the doshas balanced as close as possible to your natural constitution of your dosha balance. So it aims to balance these doshas by selecting the foods and the spices and herbs as a means to pacify, or to balance your dominant dosha if it's getting out of whack, or if it's getting out of balance. Or if you yourself have an imbalance in a particular dosha. Now, if you have a dominant dosha, you're more likely to go out of balance in that dosha, but it's not exclusive. You can go out of balance in a different dosha depending on many, many factors. So think of the five elements that make up the doshas. You've got air, space, fire, water, and earth. And if we keep those in mind at all times, we'll be on the right path. So let's have a look at some important aspects of Ayurvedic cooking according to the teaching and principles of Ayurveda. Now, there are two more important areas to consider. One is the qualities of food, and these are called the gunas, and the other is called the rasas, and these are called the tastes. Now, we'll start with the tastes, and I've gone over this in previous shows, so I'm trying to give you a snapshot or a kind of an overall look at what we're talking about in terms of the tastes. But you may not be aware, you may be familiar with some of the tastes, but there are six recognized tastes that we all experience, and those are the sweet taste, the salty taste, the sour taste, the pungent taste, the bitter taste, and the astringent taste. Now, Ayurvedic cooking aims to incorporate these six primary tastes in every meal. Of course, this is not always practical. Using herbs and spices gives you a bit more flexibility. But this is the aim of Ayurvedic cooking. And each flavor has a specific effect on the doshas and on the body. And a balanced combination of these tastes is believed and thought to support a smooth and a more effective digestion and contribute to your overall health and well-being. Now, the sweet taste, we know, is found in fruits, in honey, in some grains such as rice, and in root vegetables. And it is regarded as being heavy and grounding and nourishing or building. It builds up our body tissues. It also has a cooling effect. The sour taste is regarded as a stimulating taste, and it's present obviously in citric fruits, in fermented foods, and it has a heating effect. The salty taste is associated with the elements of water and fire, so you can see already it will have an effect upon your pitta, which is made up of these elements, and it is has a heating effect. And it can also balance the Vata dosha if it's out of balance. The hot taste are this, the pungent taste, not hot taste, the pungent taste, is heating, of course. If we think pungent, we think spices, and it's stimulating, and it can enhance digestion and help us digest maybe heavier foods. And foods like this include garlic and ginger and many of the spices. The bitter taste, this taste is found in leafy greens, we say, particularly in things like grapefruit and even specific fruits like bitter melon. And it is regarded as cleansing in nature and detoxifying, and it is light in quality, and it's also cooling in its effect. And lastly, we have the astringent taste, which is a taste that we may not be very familiar with, but it's a taste that's we can find in beans and in lentils and in some types of vegetables, particularly the vegetables such as celery and broccoli and those type of green vegetables. That it's associated with the elements of air and space, so you can see it's a lighter in nature and it's also cooling in its effect. Now, those are the six tastes. They have effects on each of the different doshas, and they also have qualities, and they also have a heating or cooling effect, different qualities in the heating and cooling effect. So you can see it is getting quite complex when you have to think of all of these things all at once. And this might be a good time to take a short break before we go on to discussing the qualities in more detail. And I'll see you back on tomorrow.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, the next thing to discuss in terms of Ayurvedic cooking is the qualities and how they impact upon the cooking and the digestion. Now, on previous shows, I've discussed the 10 pairs of opposing qualities that are in all things. And these are, I'll run quickly through them, heavy light, hot cold, dry oily, rough smooth, static mobile, liquid dense, gross and supple, sharp and dull, soft and hard, and cloudy and clear. Now, these are difficult sometimes to remember, certainly, but they're worth bearing in mind when you're considering different foods and trying to attribute different qualities to them. But to complicate it slightly further, in Ayurvedic philosophy, there are three other qualities that reflect us. The 10 set of opposing qualities would be the physical qualities of food. However, food also has an effect on our mind, so that we discuss the three qualities that are regarded as the qualities of the mind. And these are the qualities of sattva, rajas, and tamas. Now, these are also need to be taken into account when we're making cooking and dietary choices in Ayurveda, because they have different energetic and therapeutic qualities in themselves. Sattva is regarded as a purity or a clean and balanced quality. Rajas is regarded as agitation, activity, or restlessness. And tamas is regarded as inertia or darkness or lethargy. And they more or less correlate with Vata, Pitta, or Kapha. Certainly, Rajas is associated with Pitta, and Tamas is associated with Kapha. And a balanced meal, ideally in Ayurveda, would consist of mainly sattvic type foods as your best part of the food, with smaller amounts of Rajasic and Tamasic foods, or kind of agitating foods, such as spices, and Tamasic foods, such as the heavy foods, such as meats, for instance. But you do need these foods to provide first your energy and also your stability. Are you building up? So you need a bit of both of these other qualities in our foods. So you could regard sattvic foods would be regarded generally light, easier to digest, and also nutritious. They would favor meals with sattvic type meals would favor vegetables, rice and lentils over other food groups, for instance. And they might seem bland or lacking in taste to our modern palates, so they're so used to being stimulated with spicier or kind of sharper foods. But this is improved with use of herbs and spices, for instance. And sometimes if you have an imbalance in a specific dosha, maybe you need a kind of a blander, kind of less agitated type of food choices. And I often think about it as the chicken soup your mum would make for you when you were feeling sick. And this is your body telling you, you just need something nutritious and bland and easy to digest to heal you and to make you better. Or even rice and dal, which is a simple dish cooked with lentils and spices. And if you need to add anything to the matter, some fresh vegetables, it gives you that benefit of a freshly cooked food. So I'm not saying fully vegetarian, but at certain times it is the food that might be the best food for you. Another concept that's very important in Ayurvedic cooking is, and I've spoken about it many times, is eating according to nature. And this is according to the daily circadian rhythm of the day and also the seasons. So in the morning, you would favor your kapha-based meal, your sweeter meal to give you a little bit of energy to get the day started. In the middle of the day, when your digestion is at its most strongest, when you feel you're hungriest often, you can have your bigger meal or your kind of meal that's a little bit requires more digestion. And then in the later part in the day, where we're heading towards the Vata time, the easy to digest meals, such as the soups, maybe even stews or casseroles. And the same would apply to eating according to the season. So that generally speaking, in the autumn and the winter time, you'd be looking at where the weather is colder and windier. You'd be looking at the hot foods, the heavy foods, the grounding foods for you, which we do anyway to an extent, but less so with the advent of supermarkets and bewildering choices when you go to buy things at different times of the year. And in the springtime, you'd be favoring more the cooler foods, such as the salads or the green vegetables and the sweet fruits. So just remembering to try and eat according to the seasons is something that's always something to bear in mind. Now, modern food tends to be calorie heavy and nutrition poor, and they can also be more likely to be sweet, salty, and sour in taste. And it's not always the easiest food to digest, and it can be an issue if you're imbalanced in any of your doshas. So this is something to also bear in mind as well as eating according to the season and the daily rhythm. Of course, spices and herbs play a crucial role in Ayurvedic cooking. And not everybody may be familiar with spices, and it's something that is definitely worth learning more about, because not all spices are hot. And this connotation of spices always been pungent. Some spices are heating, some spices are even cooling, and used in combination, they have a great benefit to help us to aid digestion, to kind of boost your metabolism, get you kick-started. And they have healing effects within taken with our food and also in herbal remedies. And it's important to have a stock of go-to spices at hand at all times, in a pantry or in a larder, for instance. And a list of spices off the top of my head, which would be very useful to have, would be a cumin, fennel, black pepper, cardamom, turmeric, ginger, and cinnamon. And I'd add garlic in as well. In the garlic is strictly a herb. And ideally, having your spices in the whole seed form rather than in the powder form, so that you can roast them and then grind them to use them fresh, because obviously fresh is better, and powdered spices are less fresh, and they're less pure and may contain drug drugs and stuff in them. So how would you use fresh spices? This is something that's is worth just having a brief chat about. You take your spices, your whole spices, you pop them into a frying pan, heat them on a low heat, so you can just start to notice the smell and the fragrance. Be careful not to burn them, and then take them off the heat, let them cool, and if you have a pestle or mortar, or even like me, a bit lazy, you have a coffee grinder that you use only for herbs and spices, just pop them in there and give them a quick whiz, and that releases the aromas further and allows them to be used for cooking then. And if you have if you're using regular combinations of spices, what often people recommend is to use to do these in a batch. So have a larger amounts of the same spices you'd use, pop them in a container, and you can use them for up to a week. So this is it's also important when you're cooking to be mindful, not just mindful when you're eating, but mindful when you're cooking. So it is an important step in the part of your digestion and cooking. And you need to cook in a good frame of mind, of course. And that's really important as well, not to be stressed and not to be distracted. Put energy into your cooking will manifest in the food when you eat it. What I've mentioned before, of course, another aspect of cooking, not quite cooking, but certainly in the digestion part, is the mindful eating. And this harks to the be mindful during the cooking process, but also particularly during the eating. And this helps with digestion, because eating in a calm and peaceful environment and being more attentive to the food and thinking about the qualities of food as you're eating as well, it's a good exercise in awareness. And it also, if you eat slowly and mindfully, it will help avoiding this habit we have of overindulging and eating beyond fullness, which can cause indigestion, which is harmful to our overall health. Obviously, if you've got symptoms of indigestion, it's a sign of your digestion not working properly. So now is probably a good time to fit another short break in before I finish up the last section of the show. I'll talk about Ayurvedic methods of cooking, or how different methods of cooking can be used from an Ayurvedic point of view. And I'll see you back very shortly. Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. This episode today is all about Ayurvedic cooking, or really cooking according to Ayurveda. It's probably a better way to describe it. In the first two parts of the show, I covered some of the basic principles of Ayurveda, and the importance of the doshas and the elements, and how they affect our dosha balance. Also, I discussed the importance of the six tastes in Ayurvedic cooking, and also the qualities of the food, both the physical qualities of the food and what you would describe as the psychological qualities, or the qualities of the food as they relate to our mind. A lot of things to consider, certainly, and I do appreciate if you haven't heard any of this before, it might be quite alien and strange to you, but the more you think about it, and the more you reflect on it when you're cooking and eating, you'll understand how all of these things can be important in our digestion, and our digestion is key to our overall health. So, in this part of the show, I just want to talk about different cooking methods and how they can be thought of from an Ayurvedic point of view, and how they can be used from an Ayurvedic point of view to balance the doshas, are to help redress an imbalance if we suffer from an imbalance in a particular dosha. Now, This is not specific to Ayurvedic cooking in any way, because the same techniques are used in lots of different types of cooking. So it's understood that cooking involves methods to enhance the nutritional value of food and helps make food more digestible. This is an obvious thing to state. And these are some cooking techniques, and they'll have different methods. They'll have different effects on each doshas. And they may also change some of the qualities of particular foods, which we spoke about earlier on. Now, if you think, for instance, of baked apple, and this is an excellent example, because if you eat a raw apple, it has a specific taste and specific quality, and it's hard and it's sour, versus a green apple, I'm thinking, rather than a sweet apple. However, if you bake it, or if you saute or fry it gently in some coconut oil and some cinnamon and some maybe fennel or even cloves, you can change the qualities and the effects of the food. It can become more heating. It could become sweeter and so on. So that's just an example. One type of cooking is steamy, which is considered a very healthy way to cook food in Ayurveda. It retains the natural flavors and the nutrients within food. And this is accepted even in modern cooking. And it makes food a little easier to digest, particularly things like green vegetables. And this is good for pitta and for vata. However, the steaming and the moist element within the food may be exacerbated for kapha. Boiling is another similar method. And this softens the food in vegetables, of course, and enables easier digestion. And it's a technique that's used for soups and stews. Sautéing or frying is a technique which is used a lot in Ayurveda, using ghee or clarified butter, which is the preferred oil used in Ayurvedic cooking. And this allows the spices to develop their flavor. And it's a technique used for cooking and at the start of cooking dishes like lentil dishes and so on. When you're using lots of spices, so frying the spices beforehand adds flavor and releases the aromas, and also makes the spices more accessible. The spices have a greater action upon our systems by using this technique beforehand. And baking and roasting is also another technique that's used, particularly for breads, of course, and roasted vegetables. And this is a very good technique for any kapha imbalance, because it tends to dry the food, where which is an effect on balancing kapha. And of course, slow cooking, which is gaining in popularity these days, where you cook food for longer periods of time on a lower heat. And this is a common technique that's been used used regularly in Ayurvedic and in Indian cooking for dishes of rice and lentils, for instance, where they need longer periods of slow cooking to soften the beans and so on. And this is also makes the food easier to digest, which is good for people with a vata imbalance who have erratic digestion. Fermentation is another way of cooking, producing foods like yogurts and pickled vegetables. And these are, as we know, very popular these days to promote a good microbiome within promoting good health, good health, should I say, and enhancing digestion. So it's a way of breaking down complex substances into simpler forms and making the nutrients more and more available to be absorbed. And this type of fermented foods in general are good for the vata and pitta doshas, but they're less good for the vata and kapha doshas, but they're less good for the pitta doshas because of the heating effect of fermented foods. And lastly, it's a very common way of preparing herbal remedies in Ayurveda is by herbal infusions or by concoctions. And Ayurveda is famous for its use of herbs and spices in remedies, particularly in drinks. So you have, for instance, a good example of this is one that is ginger, honey, and lemon, where you combine different foods and herbs and spices with different effects to get a medicinal type of effect or a therapeutic effect from the drink.
What we regarded as the main benefits from pursuing an Ayurvedic cooking approach? Well, first and foremost, if you're eating according to your dosha and you will experience improved digestion. You will have a better relationship with food. And your weight will hopefully get to where it should be. In a sense, if you're a little overweight, you'll lose weight and vice versa. And by improving your overall digestion and your overall health, you will boost your immune system and your resilience to getting disease or disorder. But it all starts with your digestion. It's the key component in dictating our overall health. And understanding your cooking and your food preparation and your food choices is a huge part of that. Because even with the best digestion, if you're eating the worst food, you're going to struggle. Now, a common question I get asked is Ayurveda cooking vegetarian? And it's not, strictly speaking. Ayurveda cooking is neither vegan or vegetarian, though it does place a strong emphasis on plant-based foods, lentils, and fresh vegetables, and so on, and beans. And Ayurvedic teachings, they do not prohibit the use of animal products or meat products. And in some cases, they even recommend them. For instance, the use of a meat broth in a Vata imbalance. And traditional Ayurvedic principles, they would emphasize the use of fresh, seasonal, locally sourced ingredients, which predominantly would include vegetables, fruits, grains, nuts, seeds, and dairy. So this is the traditional Ayurvedic teachings, and it's learning how to incorporate this traditional advice, which has worked for thousands of years, into our busy world, into our busy modern world. This is the key to understanding how to use Ayurvedic cooking to improve your digestion, your overall health. So I'll finish up by saying that Ayurvedic cooking is about striking that balance between what we consider whole food ingredients and lots of different flavors with use of herbs and spices, and in addition to using different cooking techniques to help get the most nourishment and nutrition from the foods we consume and to help in the start of the process of digestion of the food in the gut and ultimately through the different tissue layers to enable us to remain balanced in our doshas and to experience the best possible help. I'll finish up with my last message, and I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Many thanks.
Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, anamayurveda.com, which is anam spelled A-N-A-M hyphen A-U-R-V-E-D-A.com. Anam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Croí Fhuilán, Fad Siúl. Healthy hearts, long life. Take care.